Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And speaking of Anna Jarden Levine, they're Ira Winterman's powered by Anna Jarden Levine Accident Attorneys. The number again, 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Good morning, Ira. How are you?
I'm good. Is that game finally over from last night?
Jeez.
30 seconds left, yes.
Almost. By the way, it looked like both teams had so many chances, and Toronto blowing it in regulation. You're like, oh, my gosh, that was just crazy finish. Hey, by the way, wanted to ask you before we get into all the basketball stuff. You spent a few days with some of the Heat organization and watching a lot of players that could be the 13th overall pick. I always wonder, what's it like for you guys to get around and talk to people, not only Heat people, but players and other teams as well? Is it easy to get access to them?
Yeah, I mean, it really, Joe, the Combine has sort of become probably like a lot of other sports, just an annual convention, except for the teams in the conference finals. And even some of those teams had executives there also. Anyone and everyone, I mean, even people who were just advisors like Larry Bird were showing up there. So it sort of it gets two things taken care of. I think number one, obviously the draft and looking at those sort of second-tier candidates who actually go out and scrimmage. But it's also a case of sort of feeling out other executives as far as free agency, as far as trade. A lot of guys looking for coaching vacancies. The Timberwolves just announcing today they're going to keep Ryan Sanders, so it becomes 0-3 for Juwan Howard for NBA coaching vacancies before he talks to Michigan tomorrow. It really was an interesting scene, and everyone was there. I mean, the Heat, Pat Riley was there, Nick Arison, Andy Ellisberg, Bob McAdoo, Keith Askins. So I think a lot more gets done than just the draft. It's become one of those, sort of like NBA Summer League, one of the times people can really exhale and really talk personnel. I think a lot of the groundwork for offseason trades starts at the NBA Combine.
Okay, so speaking of that, we heard Mike Conley's name come up a couple times over the weekend. I know there's some smoke with that. Is there fire behind that also? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to me, Zach, it comes down to this. What do the Heat have to offer as a sweetener besides give up the 1 year remaining on the contracts of Dragic or Whiteside in order to get the 2 years of Conley? If it's just a matter of putting their cap space on hold for a year, then I could see it making some sense because Mike Conley is a dramatic upgrade from what they've had, especially after Goron's injuries last season. What I don't agree with is if the Heat have to throw in a lottery pick sweetener, I walk away from it. Mike Conley is in his 30s. He has 2 years at mega money, $30 million each year plus left on his deal. You got to stop sacrificing the future. What Mike Conley would do is probably put you back in the playoffs. What Mike Conley wouldn't do is make you a top four team in the Eastern Conference. So what are you really doing? You're saying we're trading away more of our future just to go one round in the playoffs? I think that's where you have to be careful. If it's straight contracts, if you can give up a couple years, one expiring, and you know, along with Goron or Hassan, I would go ahead and do it. If it means giving up this year's number 13 pick, there is no way I would do it. But I guess we'll see if the Heat are living in the moment or if they are taking what I think should be the long view.
All right, since you brought up that 13th pick, what do you think? You see any new names on there that you kind of watching the team and seem to be interested in? What's your take on, I know we still got some time left, who it could be?
I think it's really a case, guys, of catch a falling star, because what's going to happen is you have your clear 1, 2, and 3. This might be the earliest we've known almost the exact order of the first three. I think Zion goes to New Orleans 1, Ja Morant to Memphis 2, R.J. Barrett to the Knicks 3. I think that's pretty much settled. Then there's another group in there, and a player joined that group in Chicago that surprised me. North Carolina's guard, Kobe White, left after the first day of interviews and everything. It seems settled in his position. So I think DeAndre Hunter, the guy who did so much for Virginia, he's gone. Kobe White is gone. Darius Garland, the point guard who was injured at Vanderbilt, is gone. And Jared Culver, who had the real good workout session at Texas Tech guard, or rather the real good tournament, he's gone also. The interesting name is, that means Cam Reddish has slipped. That means a guy that we thought was top three. Remember, there was a point everyone said nothing but Duke at the top of the draft. I think he's going to be this draft's Justice Winslow. I don't know if he makes it to 13, but I think he'll be the floater. There's a lot of really good names for the Heat. And what I'm curious about is this. How comfortable is Pat Riley with his rules and veteran bent going with a 19-year-old, going with a Kevin Porter from USC and his background issues, going with Nasir Little from North Carolina, who did not even start in his lone season with the Tar Heels? Or does he pull sort of a more of a typical Pat Riley and goes with more of a veteran and maybe someone like Rui Hachimura, the junior from Gonzaga? So I think this will be another Pat Riley imprint draft, but I do think you have a chance at 13. I think there'll be players from 9 through 20 where three of them will be the guy and everyone else will be whiffs. This is when you've really got to crack down over the next month.
Pat Riley's got to know, though, in the back of his head that you got to get one of these rookie guys on a rookie deal to make this team better and not just trade away for vets, right? I mean, I know for years it wasn't like that. It was Pat said, I don't need a guy 18, 19 years old. I need some vets because we need to win now. It's a little different now, isn't it?
It is for this reason also. You might say, hey, you got to pay $3 million to your rookie. Well, you know what? The full mid-level exception is $9 million. So, you know, just to get a journeyman veteran to sort of come back around to your team and pay three times the money, you've got to exercise your picks. That's where the value is in the NBA. That's why a team like Philadelphia and some of these up-and-coming teams can build their roster because they start with all the rookie-scale contracts. Then they sign the veterans and wait till these kids mature and decide whether they want to give them the big money or not. Look, 13 is not a great place. It's not an awful place. There's also a couple of really good European guys who were killing it over the weekend at the European Final Four. Sekou Doumbouya from France, looking right now, NBADraft.net has him pegged for the Heat. Does Pat Riley finally go in that direction and not go for the standard college guy? Pat Riley's play has always been get either the veteran college player or the mature college player like Justice Winslow. I think it's going to be interesting this year to see what the sort of Heat's reshuffled draft mix with Adam Simon now leading things instead of Chet Kemper, what direction they go in. But I agree, Zach. You've got to start using these picks because you know what? You don't have one in 2021, the pick you've traded for Goran Dragic. You've got to start making hay in the draft.
You've been surprised that Golden State hasn't lost a game since Kevin Durant got hurt that calf muscle, and where they are. They have not lost even in the end of that game that he got injured and have not lost any games, 3-0 now against Portland.
Yeah, I'm more surprised. I mean, obviously, I think the surprise was the way they finished off Houston, a game and a half without Durant. Houston's good. Portland is just a filler team that managed to find its way through. No one at the start of the season, no one at the start of the playoffs said, oh, Portland, they're a Final Four team. They're a Western Conference Finals team. And now that we find out that Damian Lillard has those separated ribs, I mean, what does Portland have besides their two guards? And I know people are going, oh, look at Zach Collins right now. Look at Myers Leonard. Those are bit players who, if they were your fourth or fifth guy, that would be fine. Portland is another one of those teams constructed just with two players. And you can see eventually how you have your limitations. Right now, since the NBA redid their conferences in 1981, no team has gone to five straight NBA finals. The Warriors are on that path. The question is, will they be healthy enough when they get there? Because now with Andre Iguodala's injury, there's a chance that reporting not only would he miss tonight's game against the Blazers, he could be done for the playoffs. You know what, Joe? As good as the Warriors are, without Durant and without Iguodala as well, I think Milwaukee might set up as the better team in the finals.
Well, that'll be interesting to see how that all squares about. So in that Toronto-Milwaukee series right now, Kawhi obviously doing as much as he possibly can, including 52 minutes last night. Is anything going to be enough to keep him in Toronto at this point? Because he looks at the rest of his cast on his team and can't think that he wants to stick around there for a whole bunch of years.
Yeah, you're 1,000% right, and that's what I was thinking the entire game and the entire series. No NBA player wants to be a standalone star anymore because those guys either don't make the playoffs or eventually they wind up going out in the first round. What he has had to do for that team, I know Pascal Siakam is coming around. Again, Kyle Lowry fouls out, can't be a factor when needed most. Kawhi Leonard is not going to survive this. Kawhi Leonard can't be carrying the heavy load. I know what they did in the regular season for him, and he'll probably get next season if he stays in Toronto, almost told in his negotiations, we'll give you 20 games off. We'll rest you for the playoffs. But what they put him through for the last month, and now it's going to be a six-week period for this team, it's just way too much. There's just not enough there. They don't have the cap wherewithal to get another player. As much as Siakam is going to develop, I think this is the kind of guy who says, you know what? I can go to the Clippers with a plus one. They'll have room for two free agents. I can go to the Knicks with a plus one. But he even can go to Dallas and play alongside Kristaps Porzingis. There's enough places he can go where there'll at least be a star in place, and that team already has cap space. LeBron, I don't know if he wants that, but he can get that with the Lakers. When I watch Kawhi and what he's being asked to do, you know where the ball's going. You know what they have to do. It's remarkable that he's able to survive these playoffs, let alone put up the numbers he is.
Hey, all right, get back. I know you got to see Pat Riley out there for a while. Give me a little juice on Pat. I mean, we don't get to hear from Pat much. Give me something on Pat Riley while you're there.
Well,
I know
what
you.
What I can tell you is this, is that there was a real frustration within the organization this season that they got away from their quote-unquote culture, and that there was a degree of slippage, and I don't know why, and I'm trying to figure this out because it's not Eric Spoelstra's sort of, you know, modus operandi, but they went a little easier when it came to players showing up late, when they came to conditioning things. I think they felt they had a veteran team who eventually would figure out and know what to do. And I think you're going to get back to sort of that crack-the-whip type of approach where there's going to be no more patience from these guys. The Heat went out and gave everyone the money they wanted, and they simply didn't get the payoff they wanted. This is going to be interesting to me, Joe, whether culture really matters or whether it doesn't matter if you go easy on the guys like this past season, you crack the whip again like they might next season, or does it just come down to talent? That if you're not good enough, you can talk about culture and Heat Nation and everything else, but you just don't have players who are good enough. I think this is the last hurrah for James Johnson and Dion Waiters. They have 2 years left, but I think if they don't do something this season, I think they get moved to the side as expiring contracts and afterthoughts. I think this is their last chance. James Johnson is over the hernia injury. Dion Waiters is over the ankle. I know those things can linger, but I think it's going to become a time where the Heat's going to go, look, all or nothing from you guys. There was a real frustration not only in the standings this season, but also in how situations were handled. And it makes a lot of sense then when you look back on a lot of what happened with the team this season.
I just, for life of me, because this, when you just said that, I started thinking about the Dolphins too.
Yeah.
I don't get how guys are late. I'm sorry. I'm old school.
Doesn't make sense.
I don't get how you don't respect all the other guys to beat when they got to go to a meeting or you got to go to a meeting. Everybody shows up. It's just, first of all, it makes the coach look bad, and there's not much you can do with these guaranteed contracts. I get that part.
Especially in the NBA.
It's incredible, but the Dolphins weren't even very good.
No, and
they had the same problem. They got guys that can't show up on time.
Then they always say, if you're not early, you're late. That's what the Dolphins under Shula and the Heat under Riley have always been. It's go above and beyond. And the one thing I think that frustrates the Heat is this. They set them up with the ultimate of facilities. They take care of them. They go above and beyond for their players. They give them every opportunity to succeed, and that's why it feels like such a slap in the face. We gave you everything. We opened the gym whenever you wanted. We gave you the ultimate in training facilities, in travel facilities and everything, and this is what we get in the return. I think it's really hard on Pat Riley, who was so old school. I think that's why Eric Spoelstra is the bridge. But to me, it's like if Don Shula was around or someone, he'd go like, what the heck? But as you know, Joe, the money rules, and it's all guaranteed in the NBA. You get it anyway. I think now what you have to do is you have to look back and you have to say to yourself, I don't know how you do this, by the way, if we give this player the money, will he stay true to what he was to earn the money? I think that's the biggest difference in the Heat. I think some of these players have not stayed true to what they did to earn the money in the first place.
Yeah. Ira, do you think they trade up in the draft? Do you think they try to make a move to move up?
They've never moved up in the lottery ever, so it would be a first. And Zach, here's the deal. To move up in the draft, you have to add assets. You have to add sweeteners. The Heat have one second-round pick over the next 5 years. That's not an asset. They don't have a young player on a low contract where they could say, hey, we want to move up four spots. We'll give you this guy. You could take a flyer on him. I don't think they have the assets to move up unless a team just clearly wants to move out of the draft. I don't think there's any quick fixes, Zach. I don't think it's you can move up free agency. I don't think it's you can make a trade that'll put you into the conference semifinals even or the conference finals. I think they have to be patient. I think they have to have a list of, hey, one of these six guys will fall. Just sit back, take a deep breath, whoever it is. forget about position. It's going to sort itself out. That's what I wrote in my Sunday column at the Sun Sentinel, is don't consider now that Goran or Hassan are on your roster. These guys will be gone. Consider the next rendition of your team. The Miami Heat won't be contenders in the short term unless there's some blockbuster out there. So build for the next rendition, sort of like what we're seeing with the Dolphins. They're identifying their key assets, and they're saying, okay, these are the five or six guys we're going to build around. I think that's what the Heat are doing with Winslow and Richardson and Adebayo, maybe Derek Jones Jr.
Ira, thank you very much for the time, buddy.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Ira Winman, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.